Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Welcome to Returning Home. This is your host, Natalie Stepinski. I have recorded an interview with my friend Shira Dicker, who lives in New York City, one block away from Columbia University. We've all been watching the news, and we have seen these Hamas tent cities going up across the American college campuses. It began with Columbia University during Pesach, at the beginning of Pesach. Shira actually describes to us, as she is cashing her kitchen, she's hearing this chant against Israel. And it's been very frightening, and I actually received a copy of a letter from the rabbi of the Columbia University telling Jewish students to go home because it isn't safe for them there. And I thought I'd give Shira a call, see what's really going on. She's on the ground there. She is a block away, walks through there all the time, is associated with the university. I believe her husband's a professor at the university. And we've been friends for a while. And actually, when I went to meet her, we walked through the university. It's just very pretty there. It's a very beautiful campus. So I have her on the line. We're speaking to her from her car. Actually, it's pretty funny. You're going to hear her actually having to move her car during this interview because the street sweeper comes out, and that's one of the rituals you need to do there. She is she's really a great friend of mine and great for doing this. So here we go. Listen to the interview. And again, this is Shira Dicker. She is a writer and actually has a set of short stories coming out called Lolita at Leonard's of Great Neck. She talks about it a little bit. I'll put it in the blurb, but we're talking about the protest. If you have any questions, of course, please contact me at natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com. All right, here we go. And I'll just say one more thing before I play the interview, because this is not my topic. You know, my topic is not anti-Semitism in America. I try to stay away from news items in general, but to ignore it would be a mistake because, you know, I thought maybe, just maybe, with this surge and this very public display of anti-Semitism, American Jews and Jews around the world would see we belong in Israel. Jews belong in Israel. This is a big, loud message to come home. And I asked Shira in the interview, are people speaking about Aliyah there? And she said, no, they're really not. But that's just her opinion, and those are her circles. And it's pretty funny. She answered me saying, at her synagogue, there has not been talk. Now, Aliyah doesn't need to be spoken about in a synagogue. Aliyah can be spoken about informally. It doesn't have to come from the rabbis, and it's not going to come from the rabbis, okay? The rabbis in America need to keep their jobs. They're not going to urge the Jewish people to leave. Nefesh B'Nefesh is the one who is going to give us a real answer there, if there's been an uptick in Aliyah applications. And they've been telling us all along that since October 7th, there has been, and they know that, and they knew that would happen because after every war, there's an uptick in Aliyah. So there will be, I believe there will be, but specifically after these demonstrations, after these protests is different. You know, it's not a war. But I will be checking in with Nefesh B'Nefesh to get that answer because Shira's, I don't think is, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, you know, that's just one opinion. She's not the authority on that. But I wanted to mention to you that this theme, anti-Semitism, is not really the theme of my show, but that's the connection, all right? I figure you guys could understand that. But anyway, I'm playing it for you now. Here we go.
Hey.
Hi, Shira.
Hey, Natalie. Do you want? Oh, here, I'm starting a video. Sorry, cool, I'm here. Cool. I'm
very
in my
cool.
car.
Yeah, I see.
Hi.
In the sunlight.
And if it's more, I don't know, photogenic, I could try to sit outside my car until the cop comes. This is the funniest thing, and it seems so absurd, especially in the face of the illegal encampments, that we have to play this cat and mouse game with the New York City traffic cops. You know, I'm on the wrong side of the street. Heavens to Betsy. Yeah. I better not abandon my vehicle lest I get a ticket. Meanwhile, there are illegal, you know, tents on the campus with genocidal slogans and there are no repercussions. So,
yeah, so this didn't just happen. I've been following you for a while. And I remember this guy, this Davidi Shai, this professor.
Davidi, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Ah.
Davidi.
Maybe 6 months ago, I remember him surrounded by students, Jewish students, and he was telling them something on the campus lawn half a year ago. I don't even remember what happened then. But it's been getting progressively more and more hostile there. Yeah?
Yes, yes. I remember his first video. It was a revelation because he said something that anybody who's been paying attention actually would know, that the campus was becoming increasingly unsafe for Jewish students. Mm-hmm. And he spoke as a Jew and as a Jewish parent, and he made a proclamation. And what was astonishing to me were the amounts, was the amounts of Jewish professors who found him to be grandstanding, who thought that he was on some kind of egomaniacal trip. And I just thought, what is he stating an absolute truth that for some reason you need to deny? Yeah. You need to deny it because you're working there. What do you think is going on now? And what's interesting to me is,
well, wait a second. You're talking about something, but I don't know if our listeners know what you're talking about. What happened a few months ago? Who is this guy and what are we talking about here?
Okay, so Shai Davidi is a professor. He's in the School of Business. I don't know his status. I don't think he's a tenured professor, but he is a professor. He is Israeli. And he got up, I think it was within the first 2 weeks after October 7th, because there were anti-Israel rallies here almost immediately, like the way that we saw everywhere before Israel even went into Gaza. There were rallies pro-Palestinian, and I say that in air quotes, because they're not pro anything, they're anti-Israel. Yeah. There were students, and you know, this, I also, a light bulb went off in my head when this happened, because I thought, isn't this interesting? I see it at Columbia. I see it at other universities around the country. This is coordinated. Now, whether the students were given a heads up, and I believe they were, because we know this is being orchestrated from afar. These are not good players. You know, these are bad actors who are coordinating this student liberation movement. And the kids are just stupid enough to think that they found their Vietnam. Right. They are, other people have used the phrase, the useful idiots of Hamas. And I didn't realize how stupid they were until a conversation I had last night with two of them. But we can get to that. Let's get back to Shai. So immediately after October 7th, you know, there was the shock of October 7th. There was the Chag. In America, we had the 2 days. We come out of it. Everybody is, you know, all the details are just beginning to filter. First, the kibbutzim, then Nova, right? And I don't have the detail. We know exactly what took place. And the American Jewish community and the Israelis who live in New York, because there's a huge Israeli community living here. We're just trying to come together, share information, figure out what happened. You probably heard incidentally, I think something like 100,000 Israelis got on planes and went back to Israel, whether to serve in Milim, you know, the reserves, or to show solidarity with their family, families. And so in this initial first phase, right after October 7th, where the activism against Israel and against the Jews was, it was a 0 to 60 kind of situation, happened, Shai stood in the middle of the Columbia University campus, asked people to go around him, turn on their cell phones and record him. And he said, this is not safe for Jewish students. It has been happening for a long time. There are, you know, what is being taught in the classes here is presents Israel as a state that has no legitimacy. Zionism is equated with racism. Jews are seen as white colonizers. There is, you know, and basically he was the first person to call it out. And the people like me thought, oh my God, you know, right on. I hear you. It was everything that I had seen. And it's going to sound like I'm about to make a plug. Hold on. I'll let the fire truck pass. This is a New York moment.
Yeah, we don't hear anything.
Oh, you don't hear the fire truck. Wow. Okay. So I had written, I have a collection of short stories coming out at the end of May. The short story collection is called Lolita at Leonard's of Great Neck. It's 5 novella length short stories. The last story is called The Jerusalem Lover. It takes place on the Columbia campus and in Jerusalem. And it concerns an Israeli academic who becomes an anti-American conspiracy nut after September 11th and then becomes anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. And I, when I wrote this story in 2011, I thought, wow, this is kind of crazy. Like, will anyone believe, could things really be this? No one could be this crazy. And I swear to you that everything I depicted and worse has come to pass. And so it's Shai pointed out something. The minute that Shai Davidi made this initial video, I said, yes, yes, I have seen it. We've all seen this. There were a group of students about 10 years ago who documented the anti-Israel rhetoric in the classroom of professors in what was then called the MILAC, which, don't ask me to tell you what every word in the acronym stands for. It has a different name now, but it was basically Middle Eastern language and culture, I think. And Barry Weiss is among that group. Ariel Beery, I remember, was another one of them. And they produced the film called Columbia Unbecoming. And I saw this. I kept on hearing different stories in my mind because I am liberal. I will say I'm typically left of center. And you and I had a really interesting conversation from the West Bank to the West Side a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not that I didn't see this stuff. My error was that I thought that this radicalism was small and was being dismissed as radical. And that was my mistake. I didn't realize that it is now mainstream. Now, it was a process. Maybe back then I was a little bit right because it was more hidden, or at least it was a point of view that you would not be proud to proclaim. You know, 11 years ago, I cannot imagine a Columbia student coming over to me and saying, I don't talk to Zionists. I mean, I'm blown away by the ugliness. It's like the overt ugliness of that. It's kind of like a wow moment. You know, one of the kids, he's a kid, was Black. I wanted to say to him, you know, you little privileged racist, and yes, Blacks can be racist too. How would you like it if I were to reduce you to one aspect of your identity and tell you that that aspect of your identity renders you unfit for a conversation? Because essentially that's what's happening. And the chanting here, say it loud and say it clear, we don't want no Zionists here. That's what I was hearing as I was koshering my kitchen Saturday night for Pesach. There was this battalion of lunatics outside of my window. I can turn the camera around if this helps. This is my building. This is the corner of 116th in Amsterdam. That's my building. Here is the Amsterdam Gate of Columbia University. And I live really, really close by. And what I have been doing, there's a whole media camp out on the Broadway Gate, is walking over to the producers and saying, you may want to hear from somebody who lives in this neighborhood, a Jew, because the majority of Jews in New York City and around the world are Zionists. So when we're hearing, say it loud and say it clear, we don't want no Zionists here, they're saying, say it loud and say it clear, we don't want no Jews here. Think about that for a moment. Substitute Jew with any other word describing a group of people, and it may begin to dawn on you how absolutely heinous this is. And it's been normalized. It's been dignified. It's couched in phony political liberation BS. You know, this is the BS factor is so high that it's almost funny. It is almost funny. Yeah. It's what I wrote today. as I walk through the campus, detailing what happened last night, and I say this often, it's a combination of ignorance, arrogance, entitlement, and sheer unbridled hatred for Jews. It's kind of like there was this simmering hatred all along. Maybe they pushed it aside. They knew it was kind of icky poo, but now it has been dignified. So now they bring it out, and under the guise of some kind of pro-Palestinian, you know, fervor, which is just so bogus that it's stunning. You know, the kids are stupid and they're also losers. This is a social club. You have to see what's on the campus. They do meditation. They do dances for Palestine. This is basically Camp Ramah for moronic college and privileged, deeply privileged, ignorant college students who lack a sense of purpose and belonging, kanireh, and they found it. By the way, you're about to join me on a real Manhattan thing. So there's a street sweeper coming along. I'm going to put my phone here because I have to get my car out of this parking spot so the street sweeper can sweep. And there's this, the cars, I don't know if you hear it honking. I don't know what you can hear.
Don't hear it.
This is
pushing you out of the way. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So hold on. Let's see if I can move my car. The trick is to get back your parking spot. That's always aggravating if you don't get it back, but you know, I like to be a good citizen. And by the way, Natalie, I have to tell you, about 3-4 weeks ago I got a parking ticket. Why? I had a hip injury. I had a stupid accident in my house, and I tore something in my hip, and I was hobbling around for a few weeks. Whoopsie. I'm just gonna get this. So when I went down to do the good citizen thing of moving my car, I wasn't fast enough and I got a ticket. And I have to tell you, in light of the fact, again, that these kids have set up an illegal encampment with zero repercussions, I haven't paid this ticket yet, and I am not going to pay this ticket yet, and I'm going to write to the judge what my defense is. My defense is, as long as these brats get to illegally occupy the Columbia campus with their tents and face zero repercussions for doing so, I am not going to pay my ticket. I'm going to say, you know what? Clearly, the law means nothing. So I'm not paying this flipping ticket. You know, you want to start enforcing things? Start by enforcing the hate encampment across the street. You know, I'm not going to be a law-abiding citizen while there's a travesty going on. Right? You know, I can't park actually until the guy behind me backs up. He's not a very good parker. Could you please move? Okay. Anyway, I'm back. So this is New York. You know what? I will say it's amazing living here, but also deeply stressful, but also funny. And it's like there are all these crazy rituals that we undergo. Okay, I'm back in my spot, and I will commence my conversation with you. Not commence. I will continue my conversation with you. Okay. So ask me anything.
All right. So I have a question. Are the Jews on the campus, and do you know, are they afraid? Are they really afraid? I saw that letter from the rabbi. He said, basically, go home.
Yes.
It's not safe for you. Okay. They're scared, huh? Okay.
They are afraid. I think there are some fearless folks. If I was a student, I have no idea how I'd cope with this. I don't feel fear. I feel tremendous anger and frustration. And I feel the injustice, and I'm angry at people who I feel are in a position to speak out who don't. I don't understand the administration. I have nothing but disdain for the professors who are either supporting these students, which I feel like there's something that they a stage of their emotional development that they missed. But there's real fear. There's real fear. And people are, it is a visceral thing. I know people who've been physically attacked. I spoke with a young woman, Jessica Schwab, who had a keffiyeh pushed in her face. I think that they haven't figured out. Look, I walk around all the time. I basically look like, you know, I'm a revolutionary to begin with. I don't think they look at me and say, you know, 63-year-old Zionist grandma, which is exactly what I am, in addition to other things. So it's interesting. I somehow pass on the campus. I don't, they're not following my live streams. You know, I've had a few confrontations with the little snowflakes who don't want me to film them, you know, who say that they feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding me. Go into a closet, put on your keffiyeh and scream in private if you don't want to be filmed in the middle of a public space.
Right.
In an illegal encampment while you're spouting genocidal slogans. Like,
right. That I don't understand. I don't understand why people are going along with it. Why, for instance, I saw Fox News try to go in there and interview students, and the students are like, we won't talk to you. You can't film where you want. And Fox is like, well, we actually have permission to come in through the School of Journalism, and we're here to document what's going on. Yeah. We want to speak to some students. Can you speak to us? No. Well, and please turn the camera off. The reporters are like, well, okay, we tried to go. And they turned to the camera like, we tried. I'm like, you tried? First of all, why are you asking those students? They're like 1,000 other ones. Why are you letting them push you around?
Yes, that's what I saw that exact thing. I couldn't believe it. So I have on my live stream an encounter with this girl, with two of them, one from inside the encampment, the other. And you know, at this point, I'm not even going to try to say things like young woman. I'm sorry, like, you know, we have to watch our language. God forbid we're going to call them a wrong term. You know, they're calling me what they want, right? I'm a Zionist in their eyes. This is a girl, and by which I mean, in the truest sense, someone who's not an adult. These are spoiled children. I don't know if their parents screwed up, the university, everything, society. If I was the parent of one of these kids, I would honestly be wondering what I did wrong. I'd be deeply ashamed. I'd be thinking, can I have some deprogramming people kidnap my kid and take them away from this toxic cult? You know, this is a cult. Mm. It's somewhere between a club and a cult.
Well, you said it very well at the very beginning. You said it's their Vietnam. You know, these people are looking for purpose and meaning, and they have none. So, oh, look, let's join this. And I even saw a video today of Arab telling them how to say down with Israel, teaching them the Arabic words. There are two words, and he's teaching them the words, and they're repeating them like a mantra, but they're clapping and they're having a good time. And some of these people don't have any belonging. They have no religion. And, you know, just like the brown shirts. I mean, is it any different than the brown shirts? It's the exact same thing.
Not. Right. Perfect. And they have a costume also. They're keffiyeh. I think what you just, this is really great that you told me this, because the one word that's been circling, they don't have, this is their community. This is their community. They found a community of haters. They're united. And what is really, it gives me pause to consider, and in a way makes me feel oh so special. I don't mean me, Kwashira. I mean me as a Jew. Wow. We loom large in their minds. They're really freaking obsessed with us. I feel very, very special.
Yeah.
Imagine the real estate that we're taking up in their hearts and their minds. They're fuming, they're spewing this.
Yeah.
And it is really sad. And some of the kids are just so pathetic.
Yeah.
So pathetic. Yeah. I will say one thing, and you know, people talk very frankly. It's an American Jewish thing, and Eretz Nederet does a great job of spoofing it, but it's very tragic. Some of the young adult children of people I know sound like the kids on the campus. And it is, you know, I have seen posts and the parents, it's really no laughing matter. The parents have just been really up in arms, you know, horrified and alarmed and embarrassed that their kids basically sound like they're interning for Sinwar. And these are Jewish kids, some of whom went to Jewish day schools.
Oh, I did not know.
And so there's a pathology here. So I think, you know, like anything else, there's a lot of group dynamic stuff going on. And I think the Jewish kids who stand up are really, I don't know, they're superstars. They're really, they're valiant warrior types. And look, part of it is a nature. I have a warrior nature. I was a warrior as a child. I am a grandmother warrior, you know. And I think women get more themselves as they get older. Oh my God, there's so many things. It is, Natalie, it's exhausting. I will tell you, first of all, when they chant deep into the night, it's really exhausting. But you asked about the fear and also what people are thinking. At the beginning, I heard something I never in my life heard. I heard that Jews were going to be trained in how to shoot a gun. People, the most like nerdy Upper West Side Jews you can imagine, are going to shooting ranges. I'm like, I am paying attention to that. That's wild. And the thing is, I no longer think that that's a crazy idea. You know, if you had said this to me a few years ago, I would have just thought that's whack. That's dangerous. I understand why they're doing it. I haven't done it, but I understand why they're doing it. I know people who carry mace. That's certainly not crazy. There is threat. There is a heavy feeling of threat. And what's interesting is you talk to the cops, I talk to the camera crews. Nobody thinks that the students have a legitimate cause. Everyone is rolling their eyes. I think the majority of Americans are just, they're scared actually for themselves. What I'm hearing, because I belong to all these WhatsApp groups now affiliated with Columbia. So, you know, the students, the parents of the Jewish students clearly are alarmed. But a question went out over the last few days, what do parents of non-Jewish students think? And somebody said, unless you were really a whack job, you'd want your kid on this campus now. A lot of parents, I don't know what percentage, are deeply upset.
Deeply upset. It's not normal. It's like, it's like the fringe. It's like the brown shirts. I mean, we all know what happened there. Like, the losers, they have a club and somebody's giving them a uniform and some power. That's what it is. But Columbia, you know, is kind of a fancy college. And to even go there, you're not a loser. You have to be smart. You have to be sophisticated. I certainly wouldn't be able to get into Columbia. So that's what's kind of funny. Like, wow, there are people like that at a place like that? That's what's so alarming.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just goes to show you that grade point GPA, right, and your SAT score have nothing to do with intelligence. You know, this is the dumbest movement. In a way, it's very easy to parody. There are times where I'm walking on the campus. If you hear me, I don't even sound angry because I'm just looking around. I'm like, this is parody worthy. Mm-hmm. This is the most idiotic, aside from the, you know, horrible calls for destruction of Jews. The kids, they don't know what half the phrases mean. And by the way, this chanting in Arabic, I heard Arabic chanting. I mean, what does this mean? They're identifying suddenly, mm-hmm. You know? I have my own chance, by the way, and I did a subversive thing. I'm very proud of it. My husband was very unhappy with it, so I couldn't do it when he was in the house. I figured out how to hook up one of my kids' amplifiers. I have a son who's a musician, to my Spotify account via my iPhone. And I blasted Israeli music and then American patriotic music, which I knew would drive them crazy, out my window when they were chanting last Sunday morning. And then I figured out I wanted to do amplify a chant, but I don't have a mic. So what I did was I recorded my own chants and just, you know, hooked it up and played it. And oh my God. So one of the chants, and I think people should feel free to steal, it goes like this. 1, 3, 5, 9. You're not helping Palestine. 2, 4, 6, 8. All you do is hate.
Very
and, you know,
good.
I have other variations. Oh my God. Speaking of hate, they hated that. They were looking around. I don't think they saw exactly where it was coming from. They had a sense it was coming from my building. I have a really loud voice. And with the amp, it was really, really loud.
Good for you.
And So Natalie, anyway, yeah, that's the story from Morningside Heights. And did you want to know also if people are thinking about Aliyah?
Yes, yes. What do you know and what do you think?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything organized. It's not like, and I go to, like, I'm an involved Jew. I belong to several shuls. I attend a shul called Romamu, which is progressive, but very, very Zionistic. At least I say most of the community is. And, you know, I've been to a lot of meetings about different things. I have not been to, for instance, emergency Aliyah info meeting in the wake of the anti-Semitism. I think it's something most Jews have thought about. I thought yeah. about. I went to Israel. I was there a month ago. I was there basically for just a week to support my nephews who were reservists, my sister who lives there, my brother-in-law. I have friends from the way back, from 1968, when I was a kid in Israel after the Six-Day War. You know, I'm not Israeli, I'm American, but we lived there. My father had wanted to make Aliyah, and we would have made Aliyah if my mother wasn't next to the Super Soul on Rehov Agron in Jerusalem when it was blown up by a terrorist bomb. And so that just put the kibosh on the Aliyah plan. But I think that, you know, the way I felt in Israel, absent this bullshit, and if I could use that bad word, it's okay, you can beat me out. But in Israel, you know, even though there are different factions politically, no one is fooling themselves about who the enemy is. We all know who the enemy is. Like, it was amazing, you know. Pro-BB, anti-BB, that's just the window dressing. Everybody knows what October 7th was. Everybody knows what has happened since. And there's none of the idiocy. There's right. a whole bunch of idiocy and pathology here.
Yeah.
And let me also just talk about one other thing, denial. You know, I want to be compassionate because I do know some people who are in denial. There are people writing me, you're delusional. You know, if you think what's happening on the campus, people I know, if you think what's happening on the campus is anti-Semitic, it's not. It's democracy in action. My answer to that is, first of all, you're not here. You don't see it. It's not. You're wrong. Number two, why do you need to deny this? These are Jews, not many. I'm thinking specifically of one person, near and dear to me. And I think, honestly, to believe that what's happening is true for this person is so threatening that, you know, the adage, don't blame the messenger for the message. It's usually applied to media, you know, where media is reporting on something and people are up in arms. Oh, my God, did you see that the Daily News posted the picture of blah, blah, blah? Well, don't blame the messenger. They were recording what's going on. Don't blame me. I'm recording what's going on. But I think it's so threatening to imagine that what I'm saying is true for this, I'll just say, American Jew, that they'd rather make me the delusional hysteric, right? And it's a tactic men always apply to women, you know? And so it's interesting because at first I was baffled, then I got really annoyed, and then I felt more compassion. It's kind of like, I guess psychologically, it's easier or more convenient. It's better for you, person who's saying this, to say that this is not real. You know, I'm skewing it. I'm not.
Right.
You know,
it's too painful for them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like putting their head in the sand. It's not happening. There are two kinds of people. You know that there are people who look at fear and figure out a way to fight the fear. And there are people who pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
And
I think it's the same with Shai Davidi, to bring it full circle. Shai spoke the unvarnished truth in a very dramatic way. You know, the words I keep on hearing about him is he's a grandstander. He's a flamethrower. Is he a grandstander? If he's grandstanding, he's grandstanding about the truth. And he's grandstanding loud because he's a lone voice. There are very few faculty members who are saying it. Maybe if the Jewish faculty found their spine and their responsibility to Klal Yisrael, to the students, maybe if they banded together and spoke maybe as a block, now there's an original thing. What about finding this moment to declare your Jewishness? You know, instead you have these as a Jew Jews, you know, like Keith, oh my God, Keith Gessen. And I'm sorry to say somebody I like a lot, Elisa Solomon from the School of Journalism. I think that they have an issue with their own Judaism. I think that for them to come out in support of this and not to say a word, not to call out the lack of compassion for Israel, for Israeli victims, for hostages, that's telling.
Yeah.
That's really telling.
Yeah.
You can hold both. Natalie, I know our politics aren't always the same, but I'm sure you have, you know, you feel badly, as we all do, for kids who are caught in this conflict. But we know that they are the victims of Hamas. Right. Palestinian dead children are not the fault of the Israeli government or the IDF. That is squarely at the feet of Hamas. That's their tactic. That's what they do.
Right.
And and nobody is saying we don't care. I have yet to meet, seriously, no matter how extreme right wing or beyond my point of view, the Jew, I have never met somebody glorying, justifying, you know, or diminishing dead kids who get caught in a war. And this is a war. And that's the thing, these kids, you know, the fake, I call them the KKK, the Kefia kids of Colombia. Colombia spelled with a K, which is fake, like Kardashian, because these are fake activists. They are Insta, you know, cosplay activists. And you rightly point to the brown shirts. They've got their costume, they have their slogans, and it gets sillier and sillier at the encampment. It's less hateful over the last couple of days because they've turned it into summer camp. So there you have it.
Well, thank you, Shira. That does sound annoying. My life seems peaceful and easy compared to yours right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully it will end peacefully. Let's just hope it will end peacefully and end.
Yes. And end. Let's hope, you know, the video yesterday of her, I didn't watch it, but I see that it is proof of life, at least as of when it was made. I can't imagine what Rachel and John are going through, or any of the families of the hostages. And sometimes I think, do these haters of Israel and the Jewish people see the love that John and Rachel have for Hirsch? And do they say, wow,
no,
you know, that's really something?
They don't see it.
You know,
sure. They're not looking at the world. They're looking at their world. And
yeah,
they're in a little bubble. I mean, someone pointed out today, look at all the green tents. That seems awfully odd that they're all the same. It looks like they were just taken out of the package. Obviously they're being bought for them. This is a very, a summer camp, you know, they're counselors. Yes. There's an administration and everybody has a script.
Yes. Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah.
Activities. Yes. Yeah. Pu'ula Aleph, Pu'ula Bet. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
All right. Natalie.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
And take care of yourself. And I would, if I were you, I would definitely go to the gun range. I carry a weapon. I've carried one for 10 years. It's very heavy. It's very annoying, but lamalo, now's the time, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you're like, I wish I had.
Yeah.
That's just some advice.
All righty.
So.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. That was Shira Dicker speaking to me live from New York City, a block away from Columbia University. If any of you have any questions for Shira, please write to me at natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com. All of you listening, have a great week. Have a great end of the Pesach holiday. We're finishing up here tonight. And we'll be back next week, next Sunday, with a new show. Thanks for listening.
Shalom, this is Nadia Matar from the Sovereignty Movement. At a time when there is so much disinformation, you have to know who to listen to know what really is going on in Israel. Israel News Talk Radio is the radio where you can know that what you hear is the truth.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.